Welcome back to Spirit Mornings here at Spirit Catholic Radio. I'm Bruce McGregor here in Omaha and over in Steubenville, Ohio with Dr. Scott Hahn, live from the offices of the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology. We have with us Dr. Scott Hahn. Chris, wow, what an incredible time this has been. What a gift. And thank you, Dr. Hahn, so much for sharing with us today.
Bruce, I'm having a blast. Thank you for the opportunity.
Well, we truly appreciate the hospitality that you've extended to not only me, but also to the greater Omaha area, all of our listeners on KVSS. They are so hungry for the message, and they have come to learn and love Pope Benedict, especially through your work, and you have been his, can I say, an apostle of Pope Benedict, as far as being able to help communicate his message against a secular media and a society that would slap all kinds of negative labels on him.
Well, you certainly can call me his apostle. I would love to be described that way. I've only met him four times. I've had four unforgettable conversations on those occasions. I've had the privilege of writing forewords to two of his books in English translation, The Meaning of Christian Brotherhood and Many Religions, One Covenant. And I also had the opportunity to really encourage his publisher in the U.S. to publish more and more of his books. And so I'm grateful for the opportunity. And I must say, everything you were just saying about the listeners of KVSS, it's just equally true for you and me and for everybody here on the team as well at the St. Paul Center, because we're having the time of our lives. We're having almost too much fun. And the experience of going deeper into the Word together as part of the church in the liturgy, but also in this apostolic work that has our mission is really the same as the church's mission in proclaiming the Word of God and administering the sacraments and just helping people who live in a very secular age to understand the supernatural mystery, people who live in a very individualistic period to recognize that we are a worldwide family, people who live in a very materialistic environment to recognize that the Holy Spirit is present and bringing Christ to us in such real life terms. You know, one of the things I really enjoy doing every month in this newsletter that we send out to our supporters called Breaking the Bread is to give them an advanced look at the Sunday readings for the next four or five Masses. And the fact is that the combination of the Old Testament and New Testament readings is never haphazard or accidental. It's always deliberate, so that the Old Testament readings always give you the promises and the prefigurations that Christ is fulfilling in the gospel. And the epistle so often serves as a kind of bridge or a hinge that turns you from the old to the gospel, so that by the time we are standing and hearing of what Jesus said and did, we realize that thousands of years went into the preparation for the coming of the eternal Son made man. And the opportunity to make the connections between the old and the new, and then between the Scriptures and the Eucharist, not only the connections, but the practical reflections that I get to share in the newsletter, is for me, you know, it's why I'm on the planet, and it's what I do, and I have as much fun as anything else that I do.
I don't know who has more fun, Dr. Hahn. Actually, Bruce probably has more fun when he's downloading your reflection so that we can play it back on the air. And I know Bruce, you'll listen to like four or five times just because you enjoy hearing that reflection on Scripture for the weekend.
Oh, that is so true, Chris. And I mean, Dr. Hahn, it's just one of those situations where with Breaking the Bread, you get so much information from Scripture on Sunday just packed into that little 3-minute vignette. And the wonderful thing about it is it's just so enjoyable.
You know, honestly, Bruce, I think you and others enjoy that part of it more, because in the radio presentation of Breaking the Bread, I actually have a great painful experience because I have to take about four or five times the amount of content that I can present and then reduce it down to just a few minutes.
Wow.
And that is not easy, and sometimes it's just downright painful.
But it is such a great gift to reflect on those Scriptures before you can go to the Mass, I think. So you're not hearing the Word for the first time, but you're able to ponder and to chew. Sister Ann Shields has us saying that all the time, chew the Word of God.
Well, that's taken from the rabbis. The ancient Jewish rabbis used to describe how in Leviticus, the clean animals were the animals that were described as chewing the cud. And you'd have to wonder, why would God use them and call them clean animals? Well, the answer is because they're the model of the student. They're the model disciple. You don't just hear it then swallow it. I don't want to elaborate, but you bring it back and you think about it and you ponder it again and again throughout the day. And that really is how it is that the word comes to us and we assimilate it.
Another great blessing has been the fruit of your work, has been your new book, Reasons to Believe. You've taken us on this journey as you've written, all the way dating back to the very first, all the way through Scripture, into letter and spirit. And now in Reasons to Believe, it is going back to that basic gift that I think Pope Benedict would have us be able to put back into our lives, to think again,
right,
to reason, to use logic, and that done with prayer, the two are married and it should be entered into hand in hand.
You know, I really wrote that book avoiding going on the attack mode. But let's face it, we face atheists today. Mm-hmm. We face fundamentalists. Even within the church, we face dissidents, those who dissent from the church, who might call themselves progressive or whatever. And you can easily tend to react. And that just proves to be unfruitful. In my experience, you know, in married life, in family life, and in friendships and work environments, whenever you react out of anger, you never really accomplish, you know, divine ends. The anger of man does not work the righteousness of God, as Paul told the Ephesians. But on the other hand, when you engage them with gentleness, with reverence, with respect, you can recognize that the atheists raise a lot of hard questions that really do deserve good answers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so we have the Dawkins, the Dennett, you know, we have Hitchens and others. But I remember back in the 70s, just flirting with atheism for a short time as a teenager. And I remember fixating upon the writings of Sir Anthony Flew, the great atheist philosopher in England, who just converted 5 years ago. In his 80s, he always insisted that he was open to the evidence, that he was going to be a true philosopher and a scientist. Well, he proved the truth of that by converting 5 years ago, not to a full-fledged Christianity, but to saying that a God who is unlimited in power and intelligence is the most logical conclusion. And so I try to draw that out just to show how atheism is really based upon not the imposition of evidence, but the rejection of evidence.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to present it in a way that is really fair and gentle and reverent and respectful. Likewise, a lot of fundamentalists just, you know, act as though if you're going to read the Bible and, you know, be half intelligent, you can't be a Catholic. Well, a lot of people who were non-Catholic, like myself, I was anti-Catholic, but I was united, I was married to the Bible. You can come to the Bible with anti-Catholic convictions, but the Bible is enough to kind of dispel those and to convert people like me and Marcus Grodi and over 800 other Protestant pastors and missionaries, as we've discovered in the last 14 or 15 years. My favorite part of the book is not the first part that deals with the atheists and the existence of God, or the second part that deals with the fundamentalists to prove from Scripture that the Catholic Church is really the church that Christ was speaking of when he said, on this rock, I will build my church. But the third section, the last five chapters, that focus upon the mystery of the church as being more than an earthly institution, that Jesus and Mary, the angels and the saints, the 12 apostles, these are full-fledged members of the church in glory, and they're present to us, whether we see them or not. And of course we can't, but by faith we know they're present in the Mass, that we are taken up to heaven, that heaven comes to earth, that the church is truly the kingdom of heaven on earth through the sacraments and by the Holy Spirit. As we say, the kingdom and the power and the glory are yours now,
mm-hmm,
and forever, here and now. Because wherever the king is, you know that's where the kingdom is. Wherever the Eucharist is, that is where the king is found. And so we have a Eucharistic kingdom. The church is not something that Christ gave us because he decided to postpone his promise. He announced the coming of the kingdom. He gave us the church, but that is not a broken promise or a postponement. That is the heavenly kingdom in mystery. And the authority of the church is the authority of this divine mystery of an infinite passion, a divine love.
Mm. It's all gift.
It sure is.
And it's so tremendous just waiting to be received by us. Part of it is being open to allowing that gift into your heart. And you have to prepare yourself. And again, I keep going back to the work of the St. Paul Center, but I think that's one of the tremendous legacies that will be left for not only the founders of the St. Paul Center, but those who will carry on, because this is something that will go on. I mean, it must.
It really must. I mean, whether we remain as we are institutionally or not is up to God. But the fact is, what we've tried to do is nothing peripheral, nothing of a tangent. When we've defined our mission statement, and when we've really identified the principal apostolic means of biblical literacy for lay people, biblical fluency for clergy, what we're trying to do is just kind of major on the majors and not on the minors. Mm-hmm. Recognize that if the church is here 500 years from now, if the church is here 1,000 years from now, if the church is here 5,000 years from now, we know that the one thing the church will be doing, it might not be doing radio. We might have changed the technology. Mm-hmm. We might not be doing print media. You know, we might change there too. But we know the scriptures are going to be read in the Mass, and that the Eucharistic liturgy will be celebrated all around the world, wherever the Holy Spirit blows and transforms men and women. And that excitement to me is really what kind of keeps us on track, you know, in terms of focusing on the Word of God as it's read in the Scripture, as it's read in the liturgy, so that we're really reading the Bible from the heart of the church.
When the patron was selected for the center, St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology, I remember when I first saw that it was St. Paul, and I thought to myself, and it seems on a superficial level now that, well, of course, St. Paul, the Gentiles, and I understand that. But I it's so much deeper now, especially having experienced the fruits of the center by studying Scripture, but also it all goes, it's like the 7 degrees of Pope Benedict. It's going back to him in the person of Jesus. It is ultimately, as St. Paul was, the great pointer of conversion, of that encounter using the Scriptures and that living Word of God and his experience of that living God, of that living Christ, that caused his conversion as well as so many others. That's ultimately what it is. It's all back to the person of Jesus.
You know, we didn't know in calling ourselves the St. Paul Center that we would end up with Pope Benedict. We didn't know that Pope Benedict would end up decreeing the year of St. Paul. If we'd been asked, I don't think I would have had enough ambition, you know, mm-hmm. or faith to ask for such a favor. But here we are. We're getting ready for the year of St. Paul, which begins next summer in 08 at the end of June with the celebration of his feast day. And to me, it's significant because deep down, I think a lot of people are uncomfortable with St. Paul, and they don't know why. Sometimes they don't even bother to tell themselves that they are, mm-hmm. but they are. And so the plain fact of the matter is this, that over half the New Testament has been written by Paul and or his companion, close friend, student, and protege, St. Luke. Mm-hmm. In Acts 16, we discover how Luke, you know, met up with Paul and accompanied him on the missionary journeys. And Paul's theology of the church as the body of Christ is what underwrites Luke's gospel and his sequel, the book of Acts. Because Luke's description of what Christ accomplished through his individual body in the gospel is the foundation on which he builds his description of what Christ accomplishes through the church. The same words, phrases, and images that are applied to Jesus' body in the Gospel of Luke are applied to the mystical body of Christ, the church, in the book of Acts. Mm-hmm. So that through Peter in Acts 1-15, but especially to Paul from Acts 9 all the way to the end of chapter 28, you realize that that Paul's experience has been translated into Luke's narrative. You know, here is Saul on the road to Damascus, and he suddenly encounters blindness and a voice. And his instinctive response is, "Who are you, Lord? I am Jesus, who you persecute." Well, think of the theological deductions that had to take place quickly in his mind. First, I know he's the Lord. I just didn't know that Jesus was the Lord. You know, second, I've been persecuting him. I just thought I was persecuting his followers, but it's obvious that he takes that pretty personally. You know, mm-hmm. They must be more closely united to Jesus than I ever imagined. And so from that initial apocalypse, from that amazing revelation, that conversion on the road to Damascus, Saul becomes Paul, the apostle of the Gentiles, but the one who sees more clearly than anybody else who writes the New Testament that in the church, we don't have something like the soul of Christ. We have the very body of Christ. We have the arms and the legs, the fingers and the toes, the eyes and the ears. And so Jesus is so closely united to us. This is the mystery of Christ, as he explained to the Ephesians. And so through Paul, we can fall more deeply in love with Christ, especially in the church.
Mm-hmm. Well said. Well, we could go on and on and on, but I know there are many others that need your time. They need the benefit of the Spirit working through you, Dr. Hahn. We just thank you so much for allowing us to come here and experience the St. Paul Center and the wonderful work and the continuing work I know that you and Kimberly and everyone else that's associated will continue to offer.
Oh, you're welcome. But I want to just take this moment to also thank you, Chris and Bruce, and all of the people back at KVSS, because what you're doing is ultimately a divine work. And it's not just apostolic in a human sense. It really is accomplishing supernatural fruit, some of which you know, but most of which you won't until we pass through the veil and enter eternity and behold the glad faces of the people who tuned in and got turned on to something that was truly divine. Oh, thank you.
We hope we see our face in their numbers as well.
Amen.
Well, what do you say, Bruce? Quite a morning, huh?
Unbelievable. Dr. Hahn, thank you so much. We just deeply appreciate
it. You're so welcome. I'm at pains right now to take myself away from this.
Well, you can keep the microphone.
As a little token.
Yeah, a little token.
The souvenir microphone, yes.
Yeah, I think you can use it better than me.
Okay, Bruce. Well, we'll sign off for now, and we'll see what tomorrow brings.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you. Dr. Scott Hahn and Chris, live from the offices of the St. Paul Center for Biblical Theology in Steubenville, Ohio. And Chris will continue her talks with a lot of great people. So she just alluded to. Stay tuned here. We'll let you know more of what's going on.